50 years ago this week, a rumor raced around Philadelphia that police officers had assaulted and maybe even killed a pregnant African-American woman in North Philadelphia. The rumor was not true, merely an exaggeration of a dispute between a woman and some patrol officers, but the report sparked 2 days of riots starting the night of August 28, 1964. The memories and impact of that convulsion linger until today. Over the next few days, we'll look back at the riots, their underlying causes, and the neighborhood they left in their wake. WHYY Urban Life correspondent Elizabeth Fiedler starts our coverage.
When the riots started, Ruth Burchett was 11 years old, sitting on the front steps of her family's house in North Philly.
And I remember there was just a big commotion amongst the adults. And they weren't saying anything to us children, but they were running back and forth, and you could tell that something really serious was happening.
It was something serious. The chaos soon made national news, as told here on WOR in New York.
Fires have been setting shops throughout the riot zone. The seriousness of the trouble seems not to have diminished tonight. With each hour of the evening, the reports of assist officer on the police radio become more and more frequent. This is John Schubach reporting from Philadelphia.
Burchett remembers her brother came running home. He'd been at a nearby bar, and he couldn't believe the destruction he saw when he stepped out the door to leave.
He shook his head and blinked his eyes and turned around and went back in the bar and said, I know I'm not drinking that much. The avenue was tore up. Columbia Avenue is just three blocks up, and I could see orange. And you could smell the wood burning, and you could hear the police car sirens.
Good evening, 11 p.m. Here is the late hour news, Ed Pettit reporting. What began as a minor traffic dispute last night in a Negro section of Philadelphia has since resulted in rioting and looting with damage running to more than $500,000.
Ruth Burchett says the looters didn't treat every store the same.
There was a consensus that no one was to touch Mr. Ben's store at Gratzinar's because a lot of people in this neighborhood ate because of Mr. Ben. You could buy food on credit, and then when payday came, you would come and pay your bill. He was Jewish, but no one touched his store.
Burchett says looters targeted stores that were perceived to treat shoppers unfairly.
You had a store at 20th and Page, Mac's store, and he was grumpy and mean, even to the children. And sometimes he would cheat us out of money. And so his store was the first store that I know of that was hit.
Burchett says her father, who worked at a South Philadelphia oil refinery, was troubled by the looting. Cecily Banks' father, too, was unhappy about the chaos on Columbia Avenue, and he went out to try to curb it. That's partly why a stretch of the road is now named after her dad, the civil rights leader, Cecil B. Moore. Banks, his eldest daughter, was 17 when the riot broke out.
I actually had a date. I had to call the guy and tell him not to come.
Banks is standing outside the house her family lived in during the riots. It now features a huge mural of Banks and her family. She says her father thought the destruction was useless, and he went up to Columbia Avenue on Friday to try to stop it. And she says he issued a blunt warning to her to
stay the hell in the house.
The mayor has imposed a round-the-clock curfew with penalty of 2 years in jail for violation, but it's being largely ignored. Trouble continues in spite of the best effort of Negro leaders who say it's hoodlum-inspired.
Banks remembers seeing the scene the next week when her mother took her to the doctor's office.
That was the first time that, at least, I had seen the avenue. The glass was still there. A lot of vandalism, a broken glass from storefronts, and I would say probably ankle deep.
Despite the efforts of more than 1,500 law enforcement officers, efforts to quell rioting and looting in North Philadelphia have not been successful. A rash of police injuries have been reported, and the arrest total has now climbed above the 200 mark. But as yet, it's been impossible to prevent outbreaks of rock throwing, looting, window breaking, and attacks on police.
For many, memories are sharp, even decades later. Renowned journalist Asel Moore was working at the Philadelphia Inquirer in 1964 as a copy boy. Moore says Philadelphia stood out from other cities at the time because it had such a strong group of African-American leaders. That included judges and politicians, and figures like Cecil B. Moore. No relation.
Philadelphia's police department was double digit. I believe it was 20% of the Philadelphia police department was African-American. And you had political leaders who had a lot of influence in the city government. I mean, I don't think Detroit had any black judges at that time, or Newark didn't. Philadelphia did. They had city council people who were African-American.
Moore says because the city had such strong leadership,
and the urban disturbance in Philadelphia was not as destructive, mm-hmm. and certainly did not cost loss of lives as it did in other cities.
The riots did leave a lasting mark in Philadelphia, says Ruth Burchett, who still lives in that same house she grew up in. President Obama's picture now hangs in the window. She remembers the old days when neighborhood families shopped on Columbia Avenue and other nearby thriving business corridors instead of heading all the way to Center City.
There was an ice cream parlor at the corner of 20th and Norris, and there was a big yellow store that was more like a grocery store. And then at 19th and Norris, there was a pharmacy and there was a cleaner's.
Then, says Cecily Banks, the riots came.
My father's position was it was a fairly useless demonstration, since what it really did was to create some more problems in the community. It was sort of a death knell for the community in some respects.
Hundreds of people were injured and arrested, and more than 200 stores were damaged or destroyed. Many of those businesses never reopened. Many blocks fell into disrepair for decades. Nearby Temple University has recently helped spark a revitalization of the corridor that now bears Cecil B. Moore's name. For WHYY News, I'm Elizabeth Fiedler.